Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Well, welcome back to Addicted to Faith, the Last Storyteller podcast. I'm Jim Hurdle, your host. And tonight with me, I have a guest who is an author, and she's a poet. And she's a mom and evidently a Swiftie. Her name is Laura Dilworth, coming to us from the East Coast tonight. Laura, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you, Jim. It's so nice to be here.
Nice to have you here. And your book, The Heartbreak Chronicles, came out last month, right? In August?
Yes. August 29th, actually.
And it's a book of poetry. And poets are always mysterious. A little bit. And so yes. Let's take a couple of minutes though to take some of the mystery out and just tell the listeners a little bit about Laura Dilworth, the person, more so than Laura Dilworth, the poet.
So Laura Dilworth, the person, is a full-time mom. I work full-time. I am an aspiring nurse. I've been in nursing school and I work at a medical adult day center currently. And I've actually pulled some inspiration from my just experiences with all these different types of people and put it into poems in my book on top of my own personal experiences. So there's that.
Well, that's a good source. I mean, the blurb on your book talks about heartbreak, hardships, motherhood, breakups, and sadness. It's a lot of stuff there that is really attractive to a poet.
Yes.
I want to give some time for you to talk about the Heartbreak Chronicles, but I wanted to talk about you being a poet too. Poetry has been around for a very, very long time, but not a lot of people know about poetry. They don't understand poetry. They think it's very rigid. They think there has to be a rhythm to it. There has to be so many words. They think everything's a haiku or something like this. And also, people read that and don't quite understand it because they're trying to read it like a book instead of what it is. And a poem is a story. It's condensed to the rawest form. And so that's the world that you chose to go into. And I know your mom, a mom of three, you're working all the time, but you're also young. People think of poets as being an old gray-haired guy wearing spectacles and smoking a pipe and leaning over a desk all night long.
Well, it's actually funny that you say that. I had someone ask me once, what is poetry to me? It's a book. It's a poem in my book. It's called The Manifesto. And I actually talk about how poetry is more than just, you know, rhymy words and haikus and, you know, seven lines here, seven lines there. You know, I picture poetry as a fire, you know, just burning inside of you. And then, you know, I've always written poetry, you know, since I was a kid, I would write poems and my teachers would send it in, you know, and I'd win contests. And it's always been alluring to me.
The spoken word has become more popular than the written word. And there's a lot of artists out there that I really admire. They do a really good job. And it's got its own little place there.
Yeah.
But again, it's a different world. You are young coming into this world, but not so young that you don't have experience that's going to help you with your poetry. So it's not a bunch of old guys sitting around smoking pipes and wrinkling their eyebrows. Right? It's people like Laura Dilworth. Tell me about the Heartbreak Chronicles.
So when I was writing the Heartbreak Chronicles, I was going through one of the worst heartbreaks I've ever been through in my life. I didn't think I was ever going to love somebody else the way that I loved this particular person. And, you know, when it ended, it just like ended. I like resonated it with like death almost. Like that's how I felt about it. And then I just started writing. I was at Towson University and I was actually taking a poetry course at Towson University. Which Towson University is a university in the state of Maryland. So I just started writing and I just couldn't stop. You know, I would write, I didn't sleep because I was so sad. So I just stayed up all night and I just wrote and wrote and wrote. And as I was writing about this particular heartbreak, I started writing about, you know, someone I dated when I was 16 years old and that I just had, you know, pent up inside of me. I never really, you know, I was sad about that, but it wasn't like that, but it brought out all of these emotions, you know? So I just kept writing and writing and writing. And I wrote about, you know, like postpartum depression, like things that I had been going through, you know, in the recent years. And then just experiences from people that I had met while working in healthcare. And then towards the end of the book, you see like a shift. You see, you know, I, you know, start to maybe have faith in myself at the end of the book. And, you know, I can be happy by myself. I am happy, you know, being a poet and I have my pen and my paper and my typewriter. Yeah, I use a typewriter. and that's okay. Right. You know, I don't need someone. I'm happy with myself. That's sort of where the shift is, you know, but there's a poem in here called The Curse, you know, and it was just, you know, I felt like I was cursed. Like I thought I found the one and then I went through this horrible heartbreak and breakup and I just felt like I was cursed, you know. There's a lot of metaphors in here too, you know, comparing it to like natural elements, like storms, death, really. That's how I felt.
In writing that, and being able to pull on your own emotions, your own situation in life. Were you depressed?
Yeah, when writing this, yeah, I was very sad. I was very depressed. I was, you know, just at a really low point in my life. And I needed something to get me through. And this was that for me.
And I applaud you for that because you're in the medical field now, studying to be in the medical field. And you know that depression is a real thing and they're not sitting down and writing poems. They're popping pills. But if I had my choice to say, can I write something? Can I numb out? I think I'd rather write.
Sometimes you need both.
And that could be true. Absolutely. And maybe even writing when you're numb. But
I did, you know, I do have some of this, you know, I sort of touch on my struggles with, you know, maybe like alcoholism. I wouldn't say I was like a raging alcoholic. I could still, you know, keep a job, but I was, you know, glass of wine a night. And I, in this poem called, it's called Fantasies. Is it okay if I read you a couple lines from it?
Absolutely.
So this is just, you know, me, I'm kind of talking to God if he exists in this, you know, in this poem. And I say, when God makes his judgment, is there a point system he abides? Because sometimes the way, the truth, and the light down here, it's hard to know if he's satisfied. Will I need to plead my case on why I drank so much and was mad? Or will he smile and say he understands, crack a joke, and take my hand?
Wow. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
I don't hide the fact that I'm a Christian. And you put some stuff in there very subtly,
yeah,
that tells people that you are thinking about God, or at that moment that you were writing about that, you were thinking about God. And you asked the question poetically that so many people ask all the time, am I good enough? What can I do? So your writing was cathartic for you. And again, in reading your bio, you want that to be the same for your readers.
Yeah. And, you know, people who are going through heartbreak, you know, postpartum depression, anything that can leave you not feeling yourself and just feeling depressed and keeping you up at night. Because a lot of this I wrote on sleepless nights. You know, I just hope that they can read this and see I'm not alone. If she can get through this, I can get through this.
That's hope. That's right. And, yeah. When we can extend hope to somebody, it's like, hey, job well done. Because you can read poetry and more the modern day type of stuff. I mean, you can go back and read some of the old poets and read it for days and never understood what they were talking about. What we forget was what they were talking about was alive at their time, right? Things that were going on at their time. And sometimes it's sort of hard to place those into our world that we live in nowadays. And a book like yours comes along and somebody that is struggling, if they open your book and they read that, it's not just a woe is me poem or book of poetry. It's one that says, I've been there, I was down, and I'm up now. And that's a message.
You're not alone.
Beautiful message of hope that is in your book and in your poetry and in your writing.
And fun fact, my daughter's name is actually Hope.
Really?
Yeah.
She's the oldest?
She is the oldest, yes.
Oldest, Hope. Well, that's great. That is great. So your book is on Amazon right now.
Yes.
And it's available. I think when I first looked at it, it was still in pre-order status. Is it out of pre-order now?
Yes, it's out of pre-order now. Okay. Yep.
So we'll put the link up that in the show notes for our listeners. But so you wrote a book of poetry. Are you going to keep writing?
Absolutely. I will absolutely keep writing. I don't think that, you know, if you're a poet author at heart, you ever stop writing. It's just constantly in my head all the time. And I just got to find time to put it on paper.
Well, your plate's pretty full. So I think you're going to have to, instead of finding time, I'm afraid you're going to have to make time somehow.
Well, I do little voice memos in my phone. I'm like, you know, just saying random lines. Like,
really?
I can listen to it. I'm like, what was I trying to say there? Oh, I know. Yeah.
I do believe that you have what it takes to be successful at doing what you're doing. And I hope you continue to do it. Let me know. If nothing else, in about another 10 years, you're going to have 3 kids that you can write a whole bunch of stuff about. So
maybe they'll be writing by then.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But let us know for sure. And like I said, we'll put all the information inside the show notes for us. Do you have anything else, a final poem or anything you want to share with our listeners tonight?
I mean, I could read you my last poem of the book. You know, I think it really resonates with poets and writers alike. And
I would love to hear it.
Of creative minds. It's called Hour. And I'll go ahead and read it for you then. I got my dog right here too now.
I see that.
They're curious. That's what it is.
Yes.
All right. So this one's called Hour. This is the hour of poets and writers, insomniacs and seekers of power. The rest of the world cuddling up with the cousin of death. Not us. We're thriving and doing our best. Work with our hands, seeping through our fingertips like some kind of quicksand. Don't think so fast. There's no rush at this time. Your madness can last till the sun comes back alive and there's no more wine left. You might even spill your glass on the paper you chose to forfeit. You might have 10 minutes of rest and wake up refreshed. By now it's 6 a.m. and the town is just getting started. The smell of coffee fills the city air as you rise again and act normally, like you weren't just staring out the window of your cold apartment at 3 a.m. in the hour of writers and poets. We aren't scared of the dark, we love it. Show yourself in the morning no sign of defeat. We're exhausted, but we stay quick on our feet. Life gives us inspiration for the words we speak. So get your morning coffee, go to work, live, but I'll meet you here again at 3 a.m., the hour of poets and writers. I'll bring the wine. You bring the pen.
That's wonderful. That's right. You know, and you know what you did? Because you were talking not only to other poets and writing that, but you're talking to people that are looking at poets and saying, what the heck are you?
Right? Yes.
That was wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Of course. And, thank you so much for having me.
What we're going to do is we're going to sell some books.
All right. Sounds like a plan to me.
Well, that concludes my interview with Laura Dilworth. And, of course, a special appearance by her young son, Briar. He was a delight to listen to in the background. The Heartbreak Chronicles. Laura Dilworth, you can get it on Amazon, and the link will be in the show notes. I've got her book here in my hands, and I'm reading through it. It's very moving, sometimes very dark, sometimes enlightening. But Laura, if you're listening, and I hope you are, the one that came out to me was the one that you call the poet. And if you don't mind, I want to end this podcast with your words, the poet. If I could choose to be anything in this world, I would never choose to be a poet. The poet sits tortured, exercising his own dreams, speaking the words that nobody dares to understand. Crazy and accused of being mad. An alcoholic who only sees the bad. Able to explicitly express their sad using words you would need a dictionary to comprehend. No dictionaries that any scholar had ever seen would be able to drill the safe inside the minds of these madmen to understand the poet's mind. Within a short time, the poet has already begun to immortalize you, making you a part of history that nobody might even see. So if you don't wish to be alive forever, and your soul to live on long after you're gone, and if you don't wish to be swirled into an incandescent mosaic of words but only one person might be able to understand, don't fall in love with the poet. Choose anything else in this world. I would never choose the poet. That was The Poet by Laura Dilworth. You can find that and all of her other poetry in the Heartbreak Chronicles on Amazon now, in the show notes now. Go buy the book now. I mean, stop what you're doing, click on it, and buy it now. It's time for me, this old bard, to hit the road. Look for me down the highway. I'll be the one carrying a book. Have a good night.